Hi, this is David Key. At Quo, we've worked for the last 20 years with many of the world's best-known travel brands. During this unprecedented global crisis, our world of travel has changed, possibly irreversibly. This series will see us speak with many global leaders to understand how they see the future of travel.
John Blanco, General Manager of the Capella Bangkok, or the soon-to-open Capella Bangkok. We hope soon-to-open Capella Bangkok. He's saying fourth quarter. Welcome. Thank you. To the future of travel. Thank you so much for crossing town and coming to see us in our office. Pleasure. And as always, with Catherine Montien-Vicencai, our Chief Branding Officer. And John, it's great to have you on, and it's great for us to witness the new higher end, the new generation of luxury in Bangkok. What is this new generation of high-end hotels, yourself, perhaps the Rosewood, which of course is already open and doing famously already in Bangkok? What does the new generation represent?
Well, I think it's the ability to look at this market segment, this traveling market on the high end, if you will, with a fresh set of eyes, and to be able to react and to respond and to create products and services that are uniquely positioned to satisfy that market to a higher level. Simply put, I think scale helps. If you think of the Rosewoods, Capellas, Amans, if you will.
It's interesting that we were talking this before we started recording. It's interesting that you bring Aman into this equation, which is very much cross-generational. I mean, it's very much a bridging brand. And it's fabulous that you use that. Why?
The reason why is Aman and Rosewood, and Capella for that matter, are in a 2.0, if you will, of their existence. Aman, of course, Adrian Zecca, visionary hotelier, the Hunt family, Rosewood, and Capella, originally Horst Schulze, who was, of course, the founder of Ritz-Carlton. So you come now with well-established brands, very strong foundation, and under new ownership, Aman, of course, with a Russian gentleman, his name escapes me, Rosewood, of course, Hong Kong based now, and Capella being Singapore based with Pontiac Land and the Kui family, taking these brands and the brand equity, if you will, but then in a very, very much an entrepreneurial and almost startup fashion, reintroducing them to the luxury market. And I think there's that perhaps commonality of this profile of brands. And in doing so, it's the ability to then disrupt a bit. And,
right.
And okay, so how do you do this? How do you understand that customer to a much higher level? And even more so now, you know, that customer.
Do you think that it's the younger generation, it's the next generation of the owning families, and Sonia Cheng obviously comes to mind, and I guess Evan Pui also comes to mind for Pontiac Land, but it's this generation that is driving the new reality?
I think that generation, by all means, supported though by the preceding generation. Of course, the ability for that older generation that, of course, created the wealth in the case of, I believe, the Chengs and the Kuis, but then to be open to reinventing, to taking, really, again, a much more entrepreneurial outlook at this investment, really. So the Kuis, if you know, Pontiac Land, very well established, respected real estate development family in Singapore. The Chengs, of course, very established wealth in Hong Kong. So then how do you evolve from that foundation and challenge, if you will, a market that's it's quite traditional when you think of luxury and the brands that we all associate with luxury. They are very traditional, and they tend to be larger. So again, if you think of, you know, the cruise ship versus the Riva and Lago di Como, right? The ability to maneuver, the ability to adjust and to come ahead in a very busy, noisy market is, I think, a unique differentiator for these smaller brands, including Capella.
And having that entrepreneurial mindset, having that more disruptive philosophy, how do you think that will benefit these kinds of brands going forward as we look to recovery post the current crisis?
Again, I think it's one, agility. So it doesn't take a lot to move the ship. Mm-hmm. So you have very lean, young, dynamic leadership bodies. At least at Capella, for example, it's very much the case. That are able to question the existing, suppose accepted, what is expected from the luxury travel
industry, like the
norms
of luxury industry,
and say, okay, well, let's shake things up a bit. How do we change it? How do we? One example, Capella, not the top brand, but typically a hotel is organized in a very fragmented fashion. You have departments that, and there's this, essentially this sort of handoff of the guest. You have reception, front desk, a concierge, and it's a very old system where we in effect do away with that, and we create this singular unit. We call them Capella Culturists, the name, but that is the one point, one stop, no one else, owner and dedicated host for that guest.
Right.
So the things like that. So looking at things very differently.
Have you reimagined the guest journey from first touch with the brand, from first interaction with the brand? And how much is it data driven now? How technologically driven is the Capella relationship with the guest and with the typology? How well do you know them?
Mm. We do rely heavily on digital content and certain digital tools to facilitate communication, facilitate preparation, I guess you could say. What we would do typically beforehand in a hotel before arrival was very formulaic and very prescriptive. You'd receive an automated email asking you to fill out a checklist or answer some questions. You would typically either delete that email or perhaps maybe if there was a special occasion, you might say, it's my birthday. So really doing away with that sort of approach. And again, when you have small scale, which means small number of rooms, less guests, high colleague or staff to guest ratios, you can then go much farther in that preparation, and then, of course, in the delivery of the service. So we look at digital to assist us with that. For example, when you book at a Capella, you can immediately, from a QR code, select the way you wish to communicate with us. If it's WhatsApp, if you're in Japan and it's Line, if you're in China and it's WeChat, you will immediately be linked to your Capella culturist from the very beginning. So before you arrive, you book, and you have that instant communication, which we're also very used to nowadays, to leverage, again, the customization of the experience when you arrive at the destination. So yes, the digital tools are very important. Digital content, which is freely available, of course, within all the parameters of PDPAs and whatnot, trying to understand that customer without asking them, without order taking, if you will, is very important. Part of the task of this culturist is to do the homework and understand who you are, what you enjoy, what your preferences are, and then anticipate that in everything that's prepared for you.
Do you think greater personalization is the future of luxury? Is that what's going to drive luxury going forwards?
I think what people, especially coming now out of the pandemic, we've all been sequestered with our own thoughts and a bit of digital media, and you know where everything's in question and everything becomes very relative. Like, is in this segment, luxury segment, if you will, is now experiences. So, what can I have now that is a gratification? That concept of reward, especially coming out of these periods of being alone with your thoughts and with being together with family, with loved ones, with a reconnection or a connection, if you will. And then, of course, elements of space and privacy, which are the obvious ones that that come to mind. But I think that that wanting to even more fervently now experience things that are unique, that are tailored, that are about who I am and what I believe and perhaps what I might be questioning now in light of what I've just come out of are what would be extremely valuable.
So kind of experience, the child experience of meaning, I guess is what you're suggesting, right?
With meaning, and again, that's relative, right? Mm-hmm. To you, it may be, a sumptuous meals and you're tired of delivery for the last 3 months, but it can be much more, of course, soul searching type meaningfulness.
Do you think, it's a big question, but there's the grandeur that we were referring to of the high end, the white gloves, the guéridon, the traditional, quote-unquote, high-end. Is that now an anachronism that won't go into the future? Or is there still demand for it?
I think there's demand for exceptional quality. I think what we've seen from past crises, pandemics, wars, etc., when people cycle out of them, their travel is still top of the list. You know, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to spend my money, even though everything's in question, travel, and especially on the high end, is top of the list. With that comes a desire for quality, for things that are exceptional, that are in the sense of the traditional, perhaps defined, European defined, classic,
sumptuous
luxury. I think it can be dressed a thousand ways. It can be in a white glove, or it can be, you know, exquisitely casual, tailored, costume. But the details of it, the quality of a beverage or a food item, or the bedding, I think will always be appreciated. It may not be at the top of the list, and again, it's unique to each person, right? So. So in short, I say yes, because I think we all, particularly now, want gratification. We want to reward ourselves. We may be thinking of how they consume differently. Do I want a meal that's more sustainable? Do I want to know that this brand is very conscious of their footprint and how they consume and how they leave their mark on a destination? Certainly. But I think inherent to the luxury travel market is this desire for unique, exceptional, curated, if you will, not to overuse a word, but experiences, right, which are generated by humans.
If you think of Bangkok, I mean, your own hotel has been delayed for various reasons, and now the biggest kind of hurdle to your opening is this current global pandemic. How have you as a general manager coped with these delays, particularly the biggest one that we're dealing with right now, and how have you kept your team's spirits up? How have you kept that kind of energy going? How have you reacted and adapted over the last year or so?
I have to say, it has been extremely challenging to, not only on a personal level, but also I have been on the project 3 years now and reopening. But we have 240 staff that have been on board for almost 4 months. So it's been a very unique challenge to keep them engaged, keep them motivated. In a pre-opening, you typically have this building of momentum, of energy, of excitement, and how to maintain that over a much longer period. But I have to, you know, give credit to my team. It's through, you know, tools like Zoom, but also bringing them in occasionally and keeping them always engaged with content, training. They'll be the most trained opening teams, I think, in the planet. But it's truly about a team of leaders that are able to maintain that motivation, that energy, that focus. We have always been communicated with our teams about what Capella will mean to Bangkok and what we endeavor to do, what is our vision to really come and shake things up a bit and do things a bit differently and inject this energy into the riverside. So focusing on those things, of course, more technical things, making sure they're adept at all the sort of A to Z's of service. So when the doors do open, we'll be more than prepared to.
Right. And then when your doors do open, of course, hopefully later this year, you're still going to be opening to a very different world, different market, to perhaps what you expected to open earlier this year. And international travel, even if it started again, will be a trickle probably by the end of this year. In a market like Bangkok, where I believe around 80% of occupancy is generally reliant on international travelers, how are you going to build success when you open your doors? I mean, what are you going to look for? What's that?
Well, for absolutely longer haul markets, international markets will take some time. Regional markets are what we bank on, China, Japan, Singapore, Hong Kong, Korea, and so on. The one thing that we are very blessed with, if you will, and uniquely positioned, is to have the benefit of this period to relook and revisit and make sure that what we are proposing to the market, to those travelers, and now in a much more targeted fashion, knowing that the U.S. market will likely not be back for 6 months or more, Europeans, so on and so forth. Then we have that luxury of time to look at that, how we prepare for these markets. Unique as well because just by design, thankfully our product design, as I mentioned earlier, leverages space and open air and privacy and if you don't want to spend time at the main pool, there's 18 other rooms that have private puddles to spend time in. We also have quite a bit of food and beverage. So, and that food and beverage, or restaurants, bars, relies almost entirely on local market.
Right, the domestic.
The viability of those outlets is entirely depends on the local market, which thankfully is a market that the Thai market is adores dining out and absolutely must socialize. And we've, as we've witnessed already now with some eased restrictions or easing of restrictions already is consuming voraciously.
Yeah, we can't get back out and eat in restaurants again, right?
So. Yeah, just the delivery has done so well in Bangkok that it's.
Yeah.
So I think we're fortunate to be in a city with that dynamic, where I believe the destination by the river, with the unique restaurant, the Morocco, the Greco restaurant, I won't plug it, but and our Thai restaurant and whatnot will be of interest. And again, very al fresco, very open air, and should be appreciated.
Talking about the river in particular, and talking about the plethora of higher-end product, not just obviously the Mandarin Oriental and the Peninsula, and obviously the Shang, which people may or may not consider too high-end, but now with your hotel coming online, how is the river going to be supported by, how is all of the hotels going to be supported by this dwindling demand? It's going to be tough, right?
Sure. It's more mouths, if you will, feeding from the same or a smaller pie. I think it's the benefits are in the extremes, if you will. The higher end, I believe, will benefit from the initial traveling markets, because the more affluent will be more readily or more able to travel, will have a higher desire, I think, to travel. Look at China alone, that traveling segment is huge. It's millions and millions of people. And they will value space, and they will value new shiny objects as well, right?
The traveling in Magog right now is pretty bad. So it's pretty good. So it's pretty good right. Time to go and see out the river. I mean,
absolutely. You don't need to leave. You don't need to set foot farther than Chong Krung, to that great little neighborhood that's behind us. Otherwise, you can get everywhere by boat.
What are you doing as a hotel, and one, to become more of a part of the creative district, and to become more integrated into Bangkok? You were talking about trying to attract local gourmands and people who are coming to eat in the hotel. Mm. We all know that. I mean, we live on the other side of town, and going to the river for dinner is a bit of a hike, and we may or may not do it, but with the right incentive, with the right destination, we certainly will. I know from the Siam's experience, which struggled with that. Mm. How are you going to do that? And the other question which I was thinking about before that I'd like to ask you is, you were talking about your 240 associates that are already online and are being open to the culturalist mentality and the way that you form culture. How are they going to drive the personality of the hotel? So two different questions.
Sure. So the first and foremost are really our destination by the river. You're absolutely right. For a local to make a conscious decision to drive, whether Tanonchan or Sathorn, to get to the riverside for a meal or for to spend the day, is it's a decision. Do I stay on Sukhumvit? Do I? Depends where you are as well, right? Yanakad. But I think what we've found with our estate, if you will, the development. And I'll plug my neighbor. Our estate actually comprises a Four Seasons, a brand new Four Seasons, with several food and beverage outlets and bars, as well as our own. That becomes a much more interesting proposition. You can come and spend a day by the river, sort of beautiful river promenade, have a drink at the Four Seasons, have a wonderful Michelin dining experience at the Capella, dessert and a nightcap in Stella, our bar, and really spend the day. And then that investment in driving down or getting to the destination is lessened, I think. So I think that the robustness of the estate and what the property owner and developer has created there is really a destination to itself.
There is a migration also. And I think that we know very well the person who's been leading this creative development of the river. And I think that there will be, obviously, with Icon Siam and with other elements coming up, with your product, with the Capella, with the Four Seasons, with the Four Seasons, there is going to be a regeneration of the river. I think it will become, and with a better transportation system, with WTS.
Absolutely. That neighborhood alone, of course, wonderful work has been done at Bangkok River. David has done a fantastic job there with the creative district and promoting the river. But there's even more to it. This side of the bridge, if you will, behind us on Chung Kung, is still a very old, authentic neighborhood with tremendous potential. And we have our own little walking tours and bicycle tours that we'll offer to our guests to discover the neighborhood. We have a wonderful collection of residents with very unique stories and whatnot that we've gathered for people to have authentic experiences if they want them. It's a fascinating area, and beyond the typical temples and elephants that one would think of when traveling to Thailand. It has much more layers, as you well know, living here so long. And that's our intent, is really help you discover something beyond be expected in Bangkok, and do so in a way that's, of course, safe and within easy access, and ideally, if you can reach it by boat, even better.
And the culturalists?
So actually, all of our, and this is something at all capellas, all of our guest contact staff must be certified by a local, and here we use, I believe it's Travancore University, on history and specifically neighborhood knowledge and history. One, so that they can, of course, be armed with wonderful knowledge about this fascinating city beyond the expected. But two, then be able to, the second layer to that is we train them on how do I read and understand you within a very short window of time and tailor my dialogue as opposed to my monologue. Let me share my spiel that I was trained on and more, let me understand who David is and how I can then tailor that too, because I know he loves coffee and as a matter of fact, there's half a dozen wonderful little coffee roasters within our stone's throw of the hotel and really create a story, your Bangkok story.
John Blanco, General Manager of the soon-to-open Capella Bangkok, thank you so much for being on the Future of Travel.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.